Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mklanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The arrest of Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana raises eyebrows in Zimbabwe.
We are clearly concerned with the arrest of Tomana because we believe that Tomana, not the person but the office, represents the most senior office tasked with prosecuting those who commit offences.
Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court outlaws the country's dreaded criminal defamation law.
That outlawing of that section is coming as a relief to us journalists because it's giving us the free space to really practice our profession without fear.
And Zimbabweans living in Britain are planning peaceful protests Friday against a UK-based doctor who has forcibly occupied land owned by a white commercial farmer.
He runs a clinic in Nottingham called the Willows Medical Centre, and we will be outside there protesting against the seizure of a Zimbabwean farm.
Stand by for these stories and much more coming up.
Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court has struck down a criminal defamation law that has led to the arrests of several journalists in the past years. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Chief Justice Godfrey Chijikausiku delivered the court's decision outlawing Section 96 of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act, saying it was unconstitutional, adding that the Constitutional Court would give its reasons in a full judgment letter. The Constitutional Court ruling means that journalists who would have defamed people in their reporting won't be arrested, but affected people may approach the civil courts for recourse. The Media Institute of Southern Africa and the Zimbabwe Union of Journalists welcomed the court's decision, saying it was an important milestone in promoting freedom of expression in Zimbabwe. Veteran journalist Ngoni Chanakira said journalists can now do their work freely following the court's decision.
It's very good for us as journalists because we're being locked up sometimes on flimsy excuses. Now they will have to think before they take anyone in, and the fact that they've got to go through some process before actually arresting you, it gives us time to work and get on with our jobs. And the state, they can't just take people in just because they don't like you, the organization that you work for, and especially independent media.
His views were echoed by freelance journalist Watmo Makokova.
I think that section, that outlawing of that section is coming as a relief to us journalists because it's giving us the free space to really practice our profession without fear, because we have seen that the system has been using this law to thwart freedom of expression. So to us as journalists, this is a good move, but we only wish that this is going to be respected by the government and the constitution is going to be aligned to suit this move.
Barnabas Tondlana, editor of the Observer newspaper, said while he welcomes the ruling, there are several laws that hinder the operations of journalists in Zimbabwe that still need to be challenged.
The unfortunate thing that we have is that there are many laws that work against journalists. So the fact that criminal defamation has been removed from the statutes does not mean that journalists are any safer. They are not, because we have the Defense Act, we have the Official Secrets Act, we have and many, many others, some of which I can't just relate offend. So journalism and journalists are not as yet safe in this dispensation.
The application challenging the constitutionality of the criminal defamation law was filed by four journalists, Ngaba Machazi, Sidney Saizi, Godwin Mangunja, and Roger Stringer. The quartet argued that Section 96 of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act also clashed with other sections of the Constitution that seek to protect the right to freedom of expression, media freedom, and access to information. In 2015, the Constitutional Court struck off the same law from the country's statute books in relation to the old Constitution, resulting in the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa to further challenge the law under the country's Constitution adopted in 2013. Several journalists, such as Nevanj Madanire and Machazi, who filed the initial case, were arrested under the law as the government continued its onslaught against journalists, especially in the private media. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, Hlahla Ngwenya, MISA director, tells Studio 7's Ntungamili Khomo they are happy about the ruling.
It's a welcome development in the struggle for media freedom and adequate protection of freedom of expression in this country, as well as access to information by the generality of Zimbabweans, which information they may access through the media. It was now common practice by those that are in public office to use recklessly and wantonly this piece of legislation to try and control, if not to block, the free flow of information, which information was being disseminated by the media largely. So we welcome this development. Although we do so, we are still mindful of the fact that the struggle for media freedom in this country is far from being won. We still have a litany of other pieces of legislation that still hamper the practice of journalism in this country, which legislation also impinge on citizens' freedom of expression and the right to access to access information through various media platforms. So in that regard, we believe that this is one victory in the bag, but there's still a long walk to the destination where we can actually celebrate and fully claim a victory.
There still remains, Mr. Ngwenya, other laws that impede on freedom of expression and the free functioning of journalists, especially UPOSA and IPA. What are you doing about these pieces of legislation?
We are saying there is still a long way to go. We still need to engage our parliamentarians. We still need to engage our policymakers. We still need also, should that fail, we still need also to approach the Constitutional Court, because some of the laws I've just mentioned are patently unconstitutional.
That was MISA Director Nhlanhla Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7's Ntungamili Khomo from Harare.
The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and the country's leading legal minds have condemned the arrest of Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana, calling it an assault on the rule of law and the justice delivery system. But the state maintains that he criminally abused his office by releasing two army officers detained on January 22nd for allegedly attempting to bomb Gushungo Dairies Private Limited, President Robert Mugabe's family business in Mazoe District, about 20 miles north of Harare. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu has more details.
Harare lawyer Zimbabwe Chibwa of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights says his organization is disturbed by the arrest and detention Monday of the Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana and his appearance in court Tuesday on charges of criminal abuse of office or alternatively obstructing the course of justice.
We are clearly concerned with the arrest of Tomana because we believe that Tomana, not the person but the office, represents the most senior office tasked with prosecuting those who commit offences. And therefore, that office needs to be insulated from arrests that are not properly investigated, as what happened in this case.
Leader of the opposition National Constitutional Assembly Party and also constitutional law expert, Professor Lavmo Maduku, concurs.
It's unconstitutional, it's unlawful. The position is very clear in terms of our law. If you are the prosecutor general or you are a judge, and the allegation is that in the performance of your duty, you acted improperly, the way to go is not to arrest, it's to appoint a tribunal that must investigate.
lawyer Terence Hussein, who has represented President Robert Mugabe on many occasions, argues that the arrest did not follow the dictates of the country's supreme law. But were the police not right in charging Tomana for releasing treason suspects? Hussein says the law is the law.
I think there's two issues that perhaps we should not mix. One is the conduct of the prosecutor general, and one is the conduct of those people who are alleged to have committed acts of violence and arson. I think as far as those that were alleged to have committed the acts of arson at the particular dairy farm, I think that's one aspect and it should be prosecuted to its fullest. The other aspect now is whether or not the prosecutor general acted out of order. I think in a situation like that, what the Constitution calls for is for an investigation to be launched into the conduct of the prosecutor general, first and foremost.
But is there a legal precedence to this development? Legal law expert Dr. Alex Magaisa of Kent University in Britain explains.
No, this is not the first time that this has happened. The predecessor to Mr. Tomana, he was Mr. Sobhuza Gulandewele. He was arrested in 2007 on similar charges.
The law of the land does not permit the immediate arrest of a sitting judge or prosecutor general. This has led Dr. Magaisa to conclude that the arrest dovetails with the serious factional fights in the ruling ZANU-PF party.
I believe that this is more to do with the politics than with the legal issues.
With the country's legal minds agreeing that the arrest of Tomana was unconstitutional, what then can be done to correct it? Maduku explains the way forward.
The way forward now is clear, whatever has happened. The president must regularize the person by appointing a tribunal. And then the moment the president appoints that tribunal, the constitution automatically places prosecutor general on suspension. That is the only way forward to avoid the situation now that is coming. You cannot have the prosecutor general still in office, but at the same time facing criminal charges. That today he is in court prosecuting people. The next day he is in court being prosecuted. That can simply destroy the fabric of the administration of justice. So they have to make a quick decision.
Tomana, who has declared his allegiance to the ruling ZANU-PF party, is not without his critics in the country. Human rights and political activists have accused him of siding with ZANU-PF and abusing his office. But lawyers say the issue is not about Tomana the man, but the office of the prosecutor general, which must be protected so that Zimbabwe cannot become a banana republic. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington.
Some Zimbabweans living in the United Kingdom will Friday stage protests over attempts by a Zimbabwean-born doctor staying in that country to take over land owned by a white commercial farmer. The proposed protest, coordinated by Zimbabwe Vigil, an organization that has been fighting against human rights abuses back home, says it will picket outside a clinic owned by Dr. Sylvester Nyatsuro, a British citizen of Zimbabwean descent, who recently allegedly seized a farm owned by a white farmer, Philip Rankin. Zimbabwe Vigil coordinator Rose Benton tells us her organization will stage the protest as a way to show their disapproval of the farm invasion by Dr. Nyatsuro, who is also said to be related to President Robert Mugabe's family.
Dr. Sylvester Nyatsuro, who's been in the UK for 15 years and is a British citizen, and he runs a clinic in Nottingham called the Willows Medical Centre, and we will be outside there protesting against the seizure of a Zimbabwean farm, because we feel that this is done from motives of greed and just pure theft. And while we're protesting there, we want the people in the locality to know what he's done.
Have you already started the protest?
Dr. Nyatsuro visited the farm in Zimbabwe in September with an offer letter from the Zimbabwean government, even though on the farm is a family that's been living there and farming for 30 years, who acquired the farm after independence with a certificate of no interest from the Zimbabwe government. And in October, they brought on a whole group of people to harass the farmer and his family.
And so we organized a protest outside Dr. Niyatsur's clinic in October and another one in November last year. But on Friday last week, 20 police with AK rifles went to the farm and evicted the family. So this is a very vicious move.
So right now, what action have you taken or are planning to take as Zimbabwe Vigil?
Well, apart from handing out leaflets and informing the local people in Nottingham about what he's done, we are actually running a petition to the UK Prime Minister, David Cameron, which we plan to take to number 10 Downing Street in the near future, asking that Dr. Niyatsura's citizenship, British citizenship, be revoked, because we feel that he's not behaving like a civilized man. He's taking away somebody's livelihood. And it's not because the farmer's white. If it was a black farmer, we'd be doing exactly the same thing.
That was Rose Benton of the Zimbabwe Vigil speaking with us from London in the United Kingdom. Dr. Niyatsura was not available for comment.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a Zimbabwean-born US-based filmmaker's dreams come true.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The widow of an Islamic State fighter has voiced a rare open criticism of the terror group's leaders, complaining about the treatment of the widows and families of dead fighters.
The southwestern state of Texas yesterday recorded what appears to be the first case of the Zika virus transmitted by sexual contact in the United States.
And with the U.S. presidential candidates now focusing their attention on the northeastern state of New Hampshire, they will once again turn to a round of debates to make their cases before voters make their choice on Tuesday.
For many Zimbabweans, realizing their childhood ambitions remain a pipe dream. But for Nick Zemura, a Zimbabwean actor and film producer, a move to the United States 15 years ago opened many doors to his childhood passion of acting, as he did not waste time before he enrolled into a college in Los Angeles where his skills were honed in. Today, the former Murewa High School student and Seke Teachers College trained teacher is a proud director of Mirajo, an arts company he set up together with his younger brother Mike, and is registered in Zimbabwe. Zemura finished filming Mwana wa Mwari, a movie based on the rights of a girl child. Today in our diaspora segment, reporter Jonga Kandemiri caught up with Zemura, who is currently back here in the United States, where he's working on a film that retraces Zimbabwe's war of liberation.
I'm a film and television producer based here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. I produce films here and in Zimbabwe particularly. I just returned from a trip where we made two films, Makunungunu Maoza Moyo, adapted from a book by Charles Mungoshi, and Mwana wa Mwari, which was a project that I wrote as a form to platform to educate girls and people about girl child rights.
You live here in America, but you do most of your work back home.
I have a family here, so I have to come back here and be with the family. But I do love my country very much, and I try to do as much as I can. I'm very much involved in everything that is happening within the industry. I write and produce from here, and I go to Zimbabwe to do the actual filmmaking. I also do produce films here in Washington, D.C., in New York, and in Atlanta mostly. But I do enjoy working with my people in Zimbabwe, and it's something that I really wish I could do a lot more.
What inspired you to enter the film industry?
It's a thing that I started when I was a really young boy. I always knew this is what I wanted to do even before I went to college. And I think it is the idea that when you can tell a story, It has so many things that it can do to the person you are telling the story to. It can inspire, it can educate, it can motivate. And these are some of the things that I wanted to do. So I always say to people, I never quit teaching. I just changed the way that I teach. It's a different medium to communicate with the same people that I've always wanted to communicate with. And it's an art form that is very interesting. You know, you're putting so many pieces together, and at the end, you come up with one thing that is very impressive, and that is very fulfilling.
Some Zimbabweans who are based in the diaspora complain that they are frustrated by the political and socio-economic situation back home. Is this affecting you in any way?
Not particularly. Yes, things are difficult in the sense that we do not have resources, we do not have access to some of the things that we want. It takes a lot for you to be allowed to use, say, a police uniform or a military uniform to tell a story, even if it is a story in good light. We are not at a position where we can just say, you know, I want to say this about this subject, and you can say it easily. But I have not had any problems in everything that I have done. I've had the support. I've gotten letters from the police, from the National Arts Council, from the organizations that support arts and films. And what I would want to say is, let these people go and try to do it. And then they will see that some of these things are assumed and they're all imagined. They're not actually on the ground. We were in Murewa recently and they opened up everything that we wanted to use, and we managed to make our film without any problems. But we do need resources. And I may even ask those in the diaspora to say, support the causes that you believe in. Put the money where your mouth is, you know, so you can help this industry to grow, and then we can have something that we are all proud of.
We saw some prominent actors like Elijah Madzikatire, Jesse Mungoshi. How did you manage to bring them aboard?
Well, with Miss Chesese Mungoshi, it was actually her brainchild. We did her husband's book, Makunungunu Mawaza Moyo. So it was something that she has always wanted to do, and she was very heavily invested, and it was a great joy to work with her. And Elijah and I have done one movie before, and he was always somebody that I looked up to when I was growing up. And, you know, anybody who grew up loving Mkadota would be honored to work with his son. So these people are very supportive. They are very approachable, and I managed to talk to them, and we are doing these projects, and we are going to be doing more projects as well in the future.
That was Zimbabwean Nick Zemura speaking with reporter Jongaka Ndemiri from Maryland here in the United States.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Censorship Board has granted local theatre company Rooftop Promotions a license to screen and distribute local film productions at its newly constructed theatre in the Park Cinema venue in Harare Gardens. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Rooftop Promotions Director Davis Kuja said the new 600-seater theatre in the park, being constructed with the support of various embassies in the country, would also offer live streaming of all its productions and shows while offering free rehearsals to Harare-based theatre companies.
This theatre has now been licensed as of 10 days ago as a cinema venue that focuses primarily on local production. Only local. The censorship board was very kind to us to give us that certification, I can assure you.
He said the venue that opens next month would have a kiosk stocked with Rooftop Productions and various artists' works dating back to more than two decades. Apart from theatre and cinema, the venue would boost the growth of theatrical products and musicals within Zimbabwe and the Southern African Development Community region. Guja said a regular program called State of the Nation that will explore the week's news and topical issues, providing space for dialogue between citizens and policymakers, would be offered every Friday. Theatre writer Stephen Chifunyise said the arts industry was very vibrant but could be better with more marketing.
What is required is the marketing and the pricing system that allows for a better method of encouraging more people to consume the arts.
Renowned musician Oliver Mtukudzi said the new theatre in the park was a necessity which must be replicated in other towns and cities.
It's a necessity. It is a necessity. We need more of this. I wish we could have such things in every city of our country.
National Arts Council Director Elvis Marie said the new venue was a game changer as it comes at a time when space for arts is limited in all parts in the country.
We are of the view that more spaces of this nature can and should be created, not only in Harare, but in other parts of the country.
The new $1 million theatre would use solar energy, and its productions are set to focus on productions that work to close gaps between policymakers, inventors, and citizens in adopting renewable energy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Kifera.
Former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's proposed People First Party is said to be making inroads in most parts of Zimbabwe, with the yet-to-be-launched party trying to entice young people to join in. Mrs. Mujuru, who was expelled from ZANU-PF together with former spokesperson Rugare Gumbo, former Secretary for Administration Didimus Mutasa, and several others for allegedly attempting to topple President Robert Mugabe, have been of late holding meetings with people drawn from various parties. One of the people who attended these meetings is Bekezela Fuzwayo of Gwanda. He tells Studio 7 that the former vice president is gearing from a grand entrance into the political scene with young people being the backbone of the party.
Some of us were invited to, she invited us to go and meet in Harare to try and talk about the way forward for Maasai. Not really sure how much work is done on the ground, but in terms of trying to recruit leadership and other people, she is busy on trying to do that.
In your meeting with her, what exactly was she talking about?
She presented her issue to us as people nominated from the province. I would not really want to preempt, what she said, because it was a closed door meeting. But she touched a number of issues, pertinent to the region, issues to do with Kukuraundi, issues to do about the future she thinks she can bring on board for the people of the region.
Is there any enthusiasm to join her party as young people?
Here in the area where I am in Rwanda, I think there was we didn't agree that the meeting we had was going to be published. But as soon as we got back to Gwanda, the photos from the meeting were already online and everybody was, reading through them. And some people, the moment they saw those photos, they're busy coming to us, mixed reactions. Some are saying, yeah, this is the way to go, guys. Let's go it this way. Some are accusing, the old stories of what Mujuru's contribution was in the Kukuraundi things, and she's got dirty hands, and the association with Mutasas and the other people. It's a mixed reaction. But I'm surprised the buy-in is a little bit more than I thought we were going to be the critics.
That was Bekezela Fuzwayo, a Gwanda resident, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from the Matabeleland provincial capital.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 live talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts Gibbs Dube and Blessing Zulu will be talking with listeners and experts about the arrest of Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana.
Now,
Johnny, way.
That's the music of Thomas Mafumo with Manvembe going out to you from Studio 7 here at the Voice of America.
And now a quick recap of today's top stories.
The arrest of Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana raises eyebrows in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe's Constitutional Court outlaws the country's dreaded criminal defamation law.
And Zimbabweans living in Britain are planning peaceful protests Friday against a UK-based doctor who forcibly is said to have allegedly occupied land owned by a white commercial farmer.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.